You're listening to The Warblers, a Birds Canada podcast, Minnesota.
Hey, Jody, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Andrea. Thanks for having me back.
So you recently wrote a really nice article about spring birding, which is featured in the spring edition of Birdwatch magazine by Birds Canada. That article really, really amps me up for spring, if I'm being honest. You give some really good tips about how people can get out and enjoy the birds. And so for this episode, I thought it'd be fun to dig a little deeper into that with you.
Yeah, that sounds great. It's really one of my favorite times of year, spring. It's just, I'm really looking forward to getting into it.
What's your favorite part?
It's got to be, the longer days, the warmth, the smell, that sort of spring smell, especially after that first rain, in the springtime.
Yeah.
But for me, the best is knowing that the birds are returning and getting those first migrants back. It's so exciting, but it's bird song. It's just the sounds that you hear in the spring. All of a sudden, all the neighborhood birds are singing and all these new arrivals are singing. And I really can't get enough of that. It's absolutely one of my favorite things of spring.
Yeah, for me, it's not like an individual species that I'm looking forward to. It's the overall feel and sound. And like you say, the smells. I love when that snow melt hits and the water's flowing everywhere. Just love it.
Yeah. No, it's the best for sure. And I think another great thing about spring is such an awesome opportunity for people to dive into birding. Because there's so much around and a lot of the birds are really conspicuous. So it's a really great time to get to know your neighborhood birds a little bit better.
Yeah. So let's get into that then. Starting off, what would you say people should do potentially even before spring hits their region? How should they start to get ready?
Yeah, I think one of the first things I would like to recommend is to study up in advance a little bit. Field guides aren't just for like grabbing and to frantically looking something up that you just saw at the window. Actually, field guides usually have some really great text, and they're really, if you have a good one, like I love the Sibley Guide to Birds. It's probably my favorite field guide for North America. Just reading the introduction, getting familiar with where everything is in the field guide, getting familiar with certain groups of birds, it actually goes a long way to prepare yourself for being able to identify stuff outside. So making sure you have a good field guide and, downloading something like the free Merlin Bird ID apps to get familiar with, what you can see around you and how to go about identifying birds. So those are, a little bit of studying in advance actually goes a long way to helping you nail down some of those identifications.
I bet it does. And if you're a really experienced birder, is there maybe like a species that would be good to study or something, a new skill that they should be working on?
Yeah, well, out here in Alberta, just a specific example, we have a lot of really interesting Impidnax flycatchers. So those are those flycatchers that are all sort of greenish. They're actually all fantastically wonderful, but they're very similar looking. And one of the things you need to do to be able to separate several of those species, like Pacific Slope or Hammond's flycatcher, is hearing their vocalizations, being able to hear their vocalizations and being able to differentiate. So often in come spring, especially before my first trip into the mountains, I always like to refresh myself on the calls of Impidnax flycatchers. And so that's sort of a ritual for me, which I think is, fun to do. And it also, I want to be prepared, right, when I hear them.
Yeah, it's a really nice ritual. Okay, so people are all studied up, ready to go. Where should they start to look for birds?
Yeah, and so I think this is the big one. I think there's sometimes a perception that, you have to go to a world famous migratory hotspot like Long Point or Point Pelee or Tadoussac in Quebec in order to see big movements of birds, when it's just the opposite. Like you can find any local park, any green space, However small, during spring migration can be filled with migratory birds like warblers and thrushes and flycatchers. So, I recommend, just getting out in the spring, not worrying about having to go to, like to Point Pelee or something. Just get out to your local park and green space during the spring, and you absolutely will run into migrants that are coming through. One thing you can do if you're looking for, birding hotspots in your area or places where, that are really good close by, I definitely recommend people to go visit eBird Canada. That's eBird.ca. And you can look up and see all of your local birding hotspots. You can even search particular birds if you really want to get a great look and listen to a hermit thrush. You can search for them around where you are and find a place to go look for them. So it's a couple that those would be my recommendations.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then you're going to want to get out early, right?
Yeah. I think especially for songbird migration, getting up early is kind of key. A lot of these warblers and thrushes are nocturnal migrants. So they're flying through at night. And then soon as the sun starts to come up, they head down for land, and they usually are looking for places where they can forage and fatten up and rest throughout the day. So usually places like riverside forests, especially here on the prairies, or places along lake shores, forests along lake shores, but even a small park or green space in a town works. And morning is always sort of peak activity. Although I have to say, when migration is really humming along, I've had amazing birding throughout the day. So if you miss the morning, don't let that keep you from going out birding.
Still worth going out after work and having a good look. Yeah, love that. And I think learning bird songs really helps, right? So you might not see the bird, but hearing it and being able to identify them that way, that's big too, right?
Yeah, I think it's a huge step. I think when people are ready to take this step, I think it really helps you not only identify and learn more birds that are maybe in your neighborhood or on migration, but it also helps you find birds. When you start picking up on the calls and the songs of these migrant birds in the spring, it's a really great way to find birds. I spend a lot of time birding, not just walking around looking for everything I can. I actually spend a lot of time walking around listening for songs and call notes to find birds. And even if you're not sure what it is, it's an indication that there's something interesting over there to go look for, right? So I highly recommend learning bird songs. Bird songs are just an amazing thing to listen to. And they just, I don't know, they fill me with just like hope and joy, and they're just so wonderful. And more and more, as I get older, I'm more and more interested in listening to songs and recording bird songs. And I think that's just such a fun, I really enjoy that as my birding evolves, right?
Yeah.
So look, if you want to learn bird songs, there's a couple great things out there. There's this great app called LarkWire, which you can download, and it sort of gamifies learning birds. It's sort of like Duolingo for bird sound ID. It's really fantastic.
That sounds cool. So yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a really great tool. There's some great books and CDs out there. I really like, there's this one author in the US, Donald Kruzma. He's written numerous books on learning to tune into bird sounds. And I just really resonates with me. His books really resonate. And there's this great introductory one he put out a couple of years ago, which I think is fabulous for people wanting to just start their journey on birdsong. It's called Birdsong for the Curious Naturalist. Excellent, excellent book. Highly recommend it. And of course, I think I mentioned Merlin Bird ID, right? The Merlin Bird ID app now has a feature where you can actually hit record the bird song, and it'll actually help you identify it. And I think we had a whole episode about this.
Whole episode, back in the September, October, maybe August time frame. Flip back to our old episodes and check that one out, and you'll learn so much about that app. So speaking of bird song, I want to ask what you think is iconic, some iconic spring sounds. So say for someone in the prairies, what do you think is an iconic sound that they'll hear?
Yeah, I think the prairies, and I think you know, and maybe you would relate to this one as well, having grown up in Saskatchewan, it has to be Western meadowlark, right?
Yeah.
Like Western meadowlark out here is the sound of the prairies. They're fairly common, and it's just, there's something about that song.
It's charming and haunting kind of at the same time.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It's the sound of the prairies as far as I'm concerned. I love it.
It is. Okay, let's go across the country to, say, the Atlantic provinces. What will they hear?
Yeah, well, there's a few different things. I think, you know, in Eastern Canada, you know, I did a quick poll of some of my birding friends about, like, their favorite bird sounds of the spring. And, you know, and I think out east, you know, the song of black-capped chickadee, right, is just and they're just starting to do that here. You know, that beautiful Phoebe song.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is just wonderful. Like, it's a real characteristic out east. And then where you have house finches, I have to throw out one for house finches. And I think, you know, for even though they're sort of widespread across a lot of Canada now that they weren't before, for me, the sound of the house finch growing up in Southern Ontario, that was a big one. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was the real sound of spring. And I loved it when my neighborhood house finches started singing. They were always my favorite. They should be singing now. They're just starting here.
Yeah. I noticed when I moved to Ontario that the Northern Cardinals really bring on the spring with their, like, pew, pew, pew sort of sound. Actually, I shouldn't mimic it. We can just play it for you.
No, the mimicking is good. That zapping laser gun song they do, eh?
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? It's, yeah, so, so good. And unfortunately, you know, that's sort of limited to Southern and Eastern Canada. But if you get a chance to be somewhere where cardinals are singing, it's they're awesome.
They're very cool. All right, people are all prepared to get out and go birding. Can they find a birding community to join, or is it a solo activity? What do you think?
I think that, you know, one of the great things about birding is that you can go do it on your own as a, you know, almost a meditative activity to do in your local green space or park. Or, you know, people that want to have a more social element, birding is absolutely there. You know, birding is for everyone, and birding together brings just another level of fun and excitement to your birding. I actually really love birding with a group of people, especially people that are just seeing birds for the first time. There's nothing more satisfying than showing someone their first cardinal or seeing some pretty awesome bird they never knew existed and getting to see that. So there's a couple of different ways to do it, you know, and obviously, you know, all things, knock on wood, all things going well, you know, with hopefully birding festivals are going to be having more sort of in-person events in 2022. And so, you know, Toronto Bird Celebration is a great one that we have involvement in. And our co-host Andres is heavily involved in Toronto.
His ears will be burning.
That's right. Vancouver has a Vancouver Bird Celebration and other different festivals. I know Point Pelee has a really great spring festival as well. Finding those sort of bird festivals are a great way to find other people that are interested in birds like you. There's often field trips. There's many programs geared for every different, you know, level of skill you want to bring. That's a great way to meet your people and to learn.
And even things like local birding groups on Facebook or with naturalist clubs are a good place to start. And how about birdathons?
If people want to take their birding to the next level in terms of trying to help leverage impact for conservation, the Birdathon, Birds Canada's Great Canadian Birdathon, which is the oldest existing birdathon in the world, is a fantastic program where, you know, people raise money to help support the conservation work of Birds Canada. They go out and go look for birds over 24-hour periods. Some people, you know, make a big day of it and try to get as many, like really try to push the limits of the number of species they find. Others, you know, take the family and it's more casual, but it's all in the name of raising money for bird conservation. So it's if people are interested in that, I've been doing them every year for over 20 years.
Wow.
And I love doing it. I think it's a fun excuse to go out birding and to raise money for conservation. So if people want to learn more, birdscanada.org/birdathon if you want to check it out. And I have some actually tips if we have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole different ways to do birdathon, but some of the most enjoyable birdathons I've ever done are green birdathons. And I used to have with a couple of my Birds Canada colleagues, Doug Tozer and Miles Falconer, we had a team called the Green Herons, and we would do non-motorized birdathon around the Long Point area, and we would do it by bike, by foot, and by canoe. And we would go out and try to see as many birds. And we saw tons of stuff and didn't really have to drive that far. And not having the noise of a vehicle or any of that stuff, it was some of my favorite birdathons doing a green birdathon. So if people are interested in doing a birdathon, you know, maybe consider trying to reduce your carbon footprint and try to do a green birdathon. They're really great.
I bet you'd feel just immersed in the bird sound and the experience. That sounds wonderful. Well, these have all been really excellent tips, Jody. And if people want to read the full article, they can get Birdwatch magazine by becoming a supporter of Birds Canada and learn about that on our website. And get out and go birding, right? It's spring.
Yeah, get out. It's the best time of year. Get out. Immerse yourself in birds and heads up. It's highly, highly addictive.
Warning. Thank you.